Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Okay, time for another installment of It's My House. And today, podcast is titled Why Landlords Go Broke, 619-768-2945. That's 619-768-2945. This not only applies, what we're talking about today, not only applies to landlords, but it can apply to anybody, whether you have a business or not. So we got it. Interesting. Well, let's see. Not interesting, but let's got a call already to see what they're inquiring about. 336, your mic is open. 336.
Greetings. Grand Risings. Brother L.A.?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you, sir? And I know your companion, your four-legged, your little doggy made the transition, Dr. V told me. How are you?
I'm well, one of them. I still got one.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, good. Then you're not totally alone, but there's a reason for everything. I'm so grateful. Susie P., meaning Susie Mayberry Parker, called me this new day and said that she was going to be on the show about tiny houses. And that's why I'm calling in. And also, there's another brother out of Colorado Springs, I think a 719 brother, Brother Ramon, who's been wanting to get up with you for a minute about Taft, Oklahoma, and the Napoleon Davis legacy and what have you. And that's why I'm calling in, because I thought it was the show, but I'm listening. It doesn't matter.
We can put those in because we're preparing for a new year, and apparently there's a demand for affordable housing. So, well, let's start in your neck of the woods. You got three broad you got a lot of demographics, but the three demographics I'm going to talk about for housing would be, generally speaking, you got baby boomers, you got Generation X, which is behind baby boomers, and then you have Generation Y, also known as millennials, which are behind Generation X. Now, with the baby boomers, a lot of them are struggling. So, and then you have a lot of millennials. Well, not a lot, but you have, from my observation, I believe you have a lot of millennials that are doing better than their parents and grandparents. And that's because they've taken on different lifestyle changes. Millennials are not more, you got some. But they're not jumping into the 30-year mortgage like their parents and grandparents did. Because once you get that 30-year mortgage, you're kind of trapped there. Not in all cases, but in many cases. So a lot of millennials are not getting 30-year mortgages. They're not getting, car notes. They're doing Uber and Lyft and car sharing. So they're not stuck with a car note, which includes insurance and stuff like that, and repairs, you know, oil change, you go a little bit, and the transmission needs, you know. So they're not getting stuck with those expenses. I mean, not as much as their parents and grandparents did. And then you also have more of the millennials that have naturally, they were born during the internet era, which is still exists, so they've learned how to use it to earn an income. So you got millennials now that are making $150,000 a month.
Right.
You know, their parents might not even make that amount of money in a year. And then you do have a number of millennials that have opted not to go to college. They're getting educated in other ways, traveling, starting their own businesses, things of that nature.
Yeah.
So, matter of fact, a lot of the people I'm copying off these days are millennials.
Okay, now, do you have any idea, what's your opinion as to why the millennials have decided not to get in the home owner trap or get with the car and that kind of thing?
Well, once again, they see the fallout of the 30-year mortgage. With the FHA mortgage, that's only the FHA 30-year insured mortgage is only 62 years old. It's not that old.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the baby boomers, not all of them, but quite a few, were born, and they saw their parents. But see, when their parents got a 30-year mortgage, a lot of the parents were able to pay off that. You know, like my mother. She bought a $19,000 house. That's the first house she bought, $19,900. She made enough money, but this is like early 1960s. you know, not even 1963. So she used to make two payments a month. So you had a whole generation of parents that, or grandparents now, that were paying off, you know, they were making two, but, you know, the two monthly payments were probably, they can make two monthly payments to pay off their house note. And those two monthly payments might will be under $500 a month.
Right.
They still had enough to take family vacations and all this other stuff. Whereas now, inflation, the tail end baby boomers, if you want to make two house payments a month, we're talking about that might be $2,000 a month. And a typical,
that's too bad.
They don't have that. And there's a lot of factors. We don't, a lot of baby boomers and even some, well, I'll give you an example. Okay. A lot of the people that are building tiny homes, now mind you, the operative word here is building. The majority of the people that I've met that are building tiny homes are millennials. They're not getting 30-year mortgages. They're not getting any mortgages for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
They're building their homes from cash. They might have a job or whatever. They'll go to Home Depot, Lowe's, Menards, Hardware Store, Lumber 84, and they'll buy the materials and then build it to cash. So they're
mm-hmm.
debt-free. Whereas mm-hmm. the parents and the grandparents still might have that 30-year mortgage on their house, and it's been extended because a lot of people in the baby boomer generation refinanced or got some kind of reverse mortgage on their home, so they have stayed in debt. Well, you got millennials now, like, so you got some millennials that make $100,000 a month, but they're able to, and some have traveled to, like, there are 195 countries in the world, according to the United Nations. Some have, quite a few have traveled to every country on the planet. There's one blogger that I watch on YouTube, young black woman, Mary J. Byram. She's only 23. She's probably been to about 150 countries. There's another guy. He's about 16 countries away from getting in all 195 countries. And then there's a number of them who've already done 100. They're not even 25 years old. How are they able to do this? Because they're not getting that 30-year mortgage. They're not getting that car note and everything that comes along with a car note.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you look at the new billionaires, a lot of them are millennials who don't get into, they don't live for bankers. See, what baby boomers have done is they live for, and essentially they don't realize it, they work for bankers. With the 30, you get a car note, you're working for a
mm-hmm.
banker to pay for it. Even a lot of them live in the wrong place. Because certain municipalities which were family friendly are no longer, in my opinion, family friendly unless you're wealthy. Because now a lot of your larger municipalities, like Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Maryland, Chicago, Illinois, New York City, a lot of those places, government help, government employees are unionized, and unionized work is always expensive. So we're in an age of transition. So like I said, you have people living out of cars voluntarily, living in vans voluntarily.
Right.
We're talking about families. We're not talking about solo acts. Some are doing it to cut expenses and save money. Some are doing it because that's the only option that they have. So we had a conference call last night where we we'll be doing, based on geographics, geometry, where we'll have weekly calls for, like, Florida, another weekly call for Illinois, another weekly call for Missouri. which we'll be organizing all that week. And we can even throw in Arizona, because what we want to do is, because people in those different, you know, there's different opportunities for that. But what's springing up now is you have people that are forming their own communities, and you'll see new townships and villages popping up. That's what's happening now. People are getting together. They're pooling resources, and then they're, they're forming new communities where they can live a sustainable lifestyle, where they're not living to pay the electric bill, heating bill, water bill, a 30-year mortgage, car notes, and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, they call it the sharing economy now. So that's where people are moving towards now.
Okay, you call it what, Brother L.A.?
The sharing economy.
Sharing economy?
Yeah, and that's what their video's on YouTube. If you go and check out, that's what Uber is. Uber is nothing but one private individual sharing their car with somebody else who needs, a ride from it. So Uber, Lyft, that's part of the sharing economy. They have apps on the phone now. If you want to, you can go grocery shopping from your smartphone, and then you'll have somebody that'll deliver it to you. That's all part of the sharing economy. Airbnb, part of the sharing economy. You know, some people don't want to stay in a hotel or motel. They want to stay in a home atmosphere. So Airbnb, three guys who they become billionaires within a short period of time without acquiring not $1 of banker's debt.
That's
because people are basically sharing resources, and that's why they call it the sharing economy. And YouTube has a lot of videos on this.
Okay, I haven't been because of what I have decided that is a passion of mine. I wasn't aware, and thank you, of these videos, the sharing economy, because being here in Cochise County and the colleges and the people that I have connected with, I have another plan for myself, and that plan is the human trafficking, and we won't get into that. But what I'm thinking now that you're saying, well, they're young people. You see, there's a spot that I'm aware of that is a lot of land, Brother L.A., and it's a golf course. It, at one time, it was part of the Buffalo Soldier Camp. I'm not talking about Fort Knockle, like I'm always mentioning, but it's adjacent to that. And from what I, the information that I've gotten is 80 acres. And that golf course, the last that I know about it, it was closed down. It needs a lot of work. And it's empty as far as I know. Nobody is bringing it back to life as far as I know. So I will be finding out about that or getting somebody to intervene for me. But across the street from that golf course is a RV park. And I know the gentleman. All right, and there is like it can be utilized as a training center to do projects for tiny houses. You see, and then up the street is actually Fort Knockle, the Buffalo Soldier Camp. I choose to call it a fort. Anyway, that land has little plots on it where gardens can be grown. And Susie P, meaning Susie Mayberry Parker, she introduced me to two brothers. One is actually down in Phoenix doing an internship, Red Eagle, is his name. It's Lawrence. And he's doing an internship on an organic farm there now in Phoenix, as far as I know. But you see, with his skills of husbandry and organic farming and those kinds of things can be utilized over here in Cochise County. This is just my thinking because they are colleges. And one of the women who owns that fort, meaning Fort Naco, she's an anthropologist at this college here in Cochise County. Well, I'm thinking with what Susie P's connections, the farmers, they can come out and be a part of teaching, even maybe on the college campus or campuses, with the anthropologist who has control of Fort Naco. And then there's another brother, Brother Ramon, who's been wanting to get up with you. He's a builder. And I know he has skills, the correct way of tiny houses and what have you. And not only that, I know that somebody in the network knows how to do adobe. That can be taught. Say what now?
I've done that with Earthships.
Oh, then you know how to do adobe?
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's not one of them.
Well, that is what is needed. Wow. Okay. Well, see, that's another injection of a trade, you see, because what I'm looking at is this area has the possibilities of resurrecting a trade school which can be connected or an extension of the Napoleon Davis legacy, because you've already physically, Brother L.A., have land in Napoleon Davis's neighborhood, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have the skill to teach adobe, and that is what these ones need out here. And what's interesting is that the woman, Becky Orusco, who has control, she's also the anthropologist, and she's also connected to the colleges, which there's enough land bringing the community together to have campuses stationed all over the planet, stemming from...
How many people do you know out there that are personally that are looking for sustainable housing?
Myself? Well, I'm stationed in an apartment. This is like a lighthouse. This is like a meeting station. But, you know, I have a orange pumpkin, a vehicle, as far as I know, still up there on Sister Yeye's land in Asheville and North Carolina. And what I like to do is find a way to transport my orange pumpkin down here to put on a piece of land to turn it into a sustainable housing complex for teaching out of.
Okay.
And then there are three other people. One of my sisters in Utah, meaning Utah, Sister Audrey, she's going to have to leave. She's preparing to migrate to Colorado Springs. However, in the meantime, she's interested in doing
sustainable housing. You got my direct number. Give me a call about a couple hours, and then we'll line up a weekly call for Arizona.
All right.
Okay,
all right.
We'll line up a weekly call. Yeah, because we're trying to.
I'm,
and to simplify things, make things geographic specific. Let me take call.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Give me a call anytime after 2 hours from now. Okay, 314-381. Your mic is open.
Hell yeah, I forgot what I was going to ask you now.
Oh.
Oh, hey, Brother Pianchi.
Hello there, lady. How are you?
I'm very grateful at this moment. I got some thyroid support in my system, and I'm feeling more better than a dead as Fred person I've been feeling. But right now at this moment, it seems to be supporting my thyroid, and I'm able to communicate with some type of, sense. And it's good to hear you. I need your number, Brother Pianchi, if you don't mind. Or can you get my number and please give me a reach out? What's been going on with you?
Oh, we've been doing what we have to do.
Gotcha. Would you mind giving me a ring after the show, sir?
Yeah, I'll try to get to you.
All right. Appreciate it.
All right. Okay. All right, y'all got numbers. Pianchi, remember what you want to say? Or whatever.
Yeah, where's Robin? She ever get off the train?
Yes, she did. I spoke to her yesterday. And she's usually up, because she's on the West Coast, so she's usually up early, but she was, her trip was like, anyway, she's getting back to normal. I'll put it that way, getting back to normal. She had taken the trip up for 3 days, got back, cross-country trip, then got sick when she got back, then recovered from that, and then family time, and of course, it's holiday week this week.
That's them train-prepared noodles.
I could. I don't know what she was eating. I know she bought a lot of her own food.
Yeah.
But what we
Well, you just about out of
a...
time here, but maybe I can call in tomorrow and holler at you.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for calling. Tomorrow, we're going to do is I'm gonna set it up myself. We'll have two phones. Matter of fact, I'm gonna give the number out right now, if I can find it. Tomorrow, you can call either one of two numbers, and I'm gonna send it out on my communication system. But you know what? Let me get a number now. 319, this is for tomorrow now. Tomorrow, call 319. You can call either number. The number you called today, because we got a bunch of people in the studio, 319-527-4961. That's 319-527-7461. And we're going to do a continuation on what we started today. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.